The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
What's going on? Welcome to another edition of Stunt Granny Audio. I bet Jeremy's fuming that I just called everybody the Stunt Galaxy right now. I apologize, compatriot, but you're somewhere else, so I'm going to throw everybody under the bus. It's Eric here along with Kevin DeFrango. What's going on, Kevin?
Oh, a whole lot of nothing. Enjoying the new setup in the household here.
Ah, a new setup. Tell us about this new setup.
I am back to feeling like I live alone, which is kind of nice.
There you go.
Nothing like getting a new roommate cable. That helps out.
I feel like the more I'm hearing about this, the more you just kind of want to, like, kind of like when Carly's parents leave the house and their big black lab tears shit up, unless you, like, put TV trays and folding chairs on the couches. And, like, then grab a handful of milk bone treats and throw them down the hallway so the dog chases after them so they can leave the house for a while.
Yeah, well, yeah, this is more of a permanent house guest kind of a thing, so.
Yeah. I recall earlier you
can't throw them out like parents.
you were excited for baby mama drama to end up in the bedroom so you could record a freaking podcast. Give me a break.
Yeah, well, I don't have to go to my bedroom, so that's nice. I can sit here and watch some American Ninja Warrior and record here.
There you go. And also joining us this week, Dusty Giebink. Dusty, what's happening in your neck of the woods?
Hey now, what's happening?
Hey, you and I just caught wind that Kevin's sitting around in his own filth.
Yes. I am, but I do that all the time. That's not a story when it's me.
Yeah, I just generally stink right now. When it's 100 degrees out, it's kind of hard to not smell bad.
Holy shit, dude. I took the dogs out. I nearly collapsed.
Oh, my God.
I think it's heat stroke time, you know? It's ridiculous.
Yeah. As long as that's not a metaphor for something. If the dogs get too high, you might want to put them in a bathtub.
Yeah, good luck getting that guy in the bathtub. I'll let you come over and do that, okay?
Yeah. Kevin, tell us why you're sitting in your own filth. Come on, the people got to know.
Well, it's just because of the gym. It is really completely and utterly unexciting. I did not have time to take a shower, nor do I usually take a shower in the evening anyway. I wait till it's bright and early in the morning and clean my funky ass up.
Are you ready for a strange confession from me?
Let you tell us something, brother.
I have total OCD, and I shower two or three times a day.
Interesting.
Yes.
Oh, see, no, I enjoy those days like a really lazy Sunday where I don't even shower at all.
Oh, I would kill myself. I understand it's all in my head, but I can't stop it right now.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with me.
For one thing, long story short, I just called in two repairs under my home warranty, and the company is up in Cross Point, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady with whom I spoke, said, oh, boy, it's 100 degrees here. No, she said it was 101 degrees in Cross Point, Wisconsin. So that could be a contributing factor.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
Because it's really only just started this summer. So, I mean, it makes sense to me that that's what's happening.
Okay. I see, yeah. This force of habit. Well, mm-hmm. Let me tell you something, brother.
Uh-oh.
I'm OCD in that. However many times a day I shower, it doesn't matter. When I dry off with a towel, and it does not matter what towel it is, I have to have the tag of the towel up top by my head.
Oh, my God.
And I have to have the tag, like, you know, how they put it underneath the seam. That has to be facing away from me. Now, that's OCD.
Well, as long as you don't like it, whipping up and down against your butt crack, I think we'll be okay. You know,
well,
just get a little get a little fresh with yourself with a towel. That's what I was worried about.
Well, I got news for you. Oh, wait. Oh, man.
Listen
to me real, real good.
Yes.
I'm going to win this Rumble Royal.
How can you not know the name of the show?
Yeah.
How can you make that mistake?
You're getting paid a lot of money to be on this show. Because today, I'm going to win this Rumble Royal.
Well, as long as you win the bank that's in the money, money in the bank, you'll be okay.
You, my friend, really know how to open things up to a segue. I think what we need to do is start talking about professional wrestling. We need to get into the Stunt Granny audio. We need to get into the top five at five, where we discuss the top five news items of the week. It's not 5 o'clock anywhere, though, so no idea why we call it the top five at five. And the number one news item on the top five at five, Monday Night Raw next week, Raw 1000 to be headlined by WWE Champion CM Punk taking on Money in the Bank winner John Cena. Kevin, I'm going to throw it at you first, buddy. 1,000 episodes of Monday Night Raw. No, I don't think anyway. Maybe some show could really claim to 1,000 episodes. Fuck, I don't know. To hear WWE tell it, nobody's ever done a feat like that before. CM Punk versus John Cena. Who'd have thunk it? Cena wins Money in the Bank. As Jason Powell said, knock me over with a feather. John Cena wins a pay-per-view main event. What are you thinking of how this is going down, Kevin?
Well, it would be interesting if they finished the show with a wrestling match. That would be fairly ironic. And it's just kind of interesting. Well, I mean, I guess Daniel Bryan promised this last year, saying that he was going to wait till WrestleMania to cash it in.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up parlaying that into a whole different storyline. But, yeah, I mean, it's a babyface capturing the Money in the Bank. I mean, there aren't a whole lot of those that have won. I mean, almost all of them have been heels, or if they haven't been heels, they've turned them heel by having them cash in the Money in the Bank at an opportune time. Because did Jeff Hardy do that, I believe?
Yeah.
I want to say, I mean, Punk won it as a baby face and cashed it in as a heel once.
Oh, like, shit, that's what it was. Punk cashed it in on Jeff Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
He pulled an edge. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, that's the one that I was thinking of. Thanks for clearing up this, as always, fogged up memory.
No, it's true, though. I mean, we have a babyface winner, but again, it's John Cena.
Yeah, who's the babyface?
Well, judging by the reaction of the crowd at the beginning of Monday Night Raw, CM Punk is doing a damn fine job as a babyface.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dusty, what do you make of, I understand it's the 1,000th episode of the show. So you got to make a big deal out of it. Yes, go ahead.
You notice that certain guy who writes for The Torch keeps pointing out the so-called 1,000th episode, or they say it's the 1,000th episode.
Hmm.
Like he knows some fucking great secret about how it's not technically the 1,000th episode, and he has to keep pointing it out. You know?
Well, what, I
when
mean...
WWE recognizes this as the 1,000th episode. He's written that. And it's like, what are you doing, dude? Who gives a fuck?
Right. Well, the thing is, I mean, TV shows keep track of the number of episodes they produce.
Yeah.
Television networks, I'm sure, too, or production companies or, you know, whatever the entity is, they keep track of what number episode it is, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if he's, like, on some high horse about, like, a Thursday Raw Thursday or some garbage like that, then he can go ahead and dismount the horse and get a club and beat it and get some glue and make a fucking macaroni painting out of it.
Because
It's not going to change the fact that this is the 1,000th episode of Monday Night Raw.
Yeah,
and I mean, it really doesn't change the fact either that, you know, per their somewhat limiting guidelines, they're far, in a way, above any other television show for a number of episodes. And if it's 999, actually, who really gives a shit?
Right,
well,
yeah.
I did a Google search here while you guys were yakety-yakking. Don't talk back! And Meet the Press has been running since 1947 and has over 2,500 episodes.
There you go.
Bold and the Beautiful has over 6,000 episodes, and Guiding Light has 16,000 episodes.
Well, that's the one thing that I think Jeremy pointed this out to me over IM, is that the soap operas are a daily, which
yeah,
would make
exactly.
it different than the weekly that they nice little tag that they put on there.
It
right.
just depends on where you want to put the goalpost, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
If you
it's like any other. It's like any stupid stat in sports. It's just like, oh, he's been hitting great since May the 13th. Why did he go
right.
like 0-4 on May the 12th?
Yeah. Ever since the first Wednesday after the first Thursday after the All-Star break. Yeah, so anyway, semantics and numbers and crunching numbers and whatever you want to do with them.
Right.
Yep, so nonetheless, yeah, so we get a CM Punk versus John Cena match. I feel like I'm opening a can of worms here, but Kevin, what do you think about headlining this show with this match? Like, do you think it's too much? Do you think the match has already been done, so it doesn't matter? What do you think?
Well, I mean, the last time they had a match, I thought it was a very excellent match.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether that will be the case again this time around is definitely up for question. But, I mean, I think that it's going to be a good match. And considering that they have 3 hours, they should give it ample time. It's going to get I would say that it's at least going to get a couple of commercial breaks. So, you know, it should end up being a good match, and I'm sure that the internet may or may not blow up when John Cena wins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dusty, what do you think? This is a pretty big match to give away on free television, even if it is to promote your first of supposedly many to come 3-hour TV shows.
Well, it was a good match last time, and venue had a lot to do with it. Emotion had a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Will they be able to match that type of energy this time? That is a concern to me. Cena needs a lot of stuff going on in order to have what people would call a good match. He's not a good wrestler. He's not a good professional wrestler, you know?
Right.
So you got to take that into account. Maybe having it be the 1,000th episode will light a fire under his ass. I just worry that Punk will have to carry too much of the load. He can, so it'll be okay. But I don't know, just, and it worries me that it's on TV. It makes me think they're going to screw with it and make some kind of stupid finish or something. You know, cheapen it a little bit and take away from the match that way as well. So
sure,
I'm just all kinds of nervous about the match. I don't think it'll be nearly as good as it was.
Due to the fact that it's on free TV, there are a lot of things that could go wrong with this.
Exactly.
God forbid they do something where they make it a lumberjack match where they have, like, Bret Hart and I don't know who the hell else is going to show up, Lex Luger, whatever, standing around ringside or, you know, some garbage like that. Hopefully it's just a straight-ahead match. But I was talking to Dan about this over the weekend. We were watching some Mid-South on DVD, and it was just wrestling match. And, yeah, they had good promos. Jim Cornette was on there doing his thing, cutting great promos, and and Magnum TA and wrestling, too, and everything. So, you know, I'm not going to just, like, fall on the sword for only pro wrestling matches. But so two things here that I'm thinking. One is that they're giving this away for free on television when they could easily be asking people to pay money for it. And two, that also leads me to thinking, you know, the primary reason I feel like people watch pro wrestling anymore is because they want to see some promos like CM Punk or a Paul Heyman, or they want to rip apart a promo like a John Cena or something like that. That's the stuff that entertains us these days. And you don't, the main event the main event of SummerSlam is never going to be Paul Heyman cutting a promo.
So I don't know.
He could still outperform half of the people on the roster.
Right.
So, I don't know. To me, there's just something weird about it. I think the match will be fine, I'm sure. And you might be right, there might need to be some smoke and mirrors. But I think the match will be fine, but it's my concern is that it's on free TV. You know, my neighbors are going to have to buy it anyway, but nonetheless. We'll see how that goes.
Your neighbors carry a heavy burden, man. They really do.
And I'm glad they do. I'm glad they have a heavy burden and light curtains. This, you know, looking at CM Punk and John Cena makes me think, here are a couple of guys who are pretty darn good at getting T-shirts sold to the fans of professional wrestling.
Oh, look. What's that smell? That's the sweet smell of a transition sentence.
Dusty, lay on us one of these new features of the Stunt Granny audio.
Are you ready for this? Can you handle this?
I've handled other things.
For Mount Rushmore.
Yes.
This week's topic, Mount Rushmore of wrestling T-shirts. And I will toss it to Eric first.
Oh,
Eric,
my gosh.
We all know that there were six people on Mount Rushmore.
I got to figure out who's taking the spot of James Buchanan and Queen Elizabeth here.
Right.
Alongside the Roosevelts and that other guy and King George I.
James K. Polk, man.
James K. Polk, yes. Well, when you asked us this before we went on the air, I rattled off three T-shirts off the top of my head, and then three more came
to
mind. So what if I threw these out here, and then we continued to talk about other T-shirts and maybe came to some sort of consensus?
Flesh it out!
All right, let's see what happens. First thing, this is ridiculous. First thing I thought of when I was a kid, I was getting WWF Magazine in 1990. I'd flip open to the merchandise catalog, and right there would be the Hulk Rules tank top, the yellow tank top with big red letters that said Hulk Rules on it.
Yeah.
And I realized that he had Hulkamania T-shirts and Hulkster Rules and whatever else, but for some reason when I think of the shirts that wrestling fans bought, I immediately think of the yellow and red Hulk Rules tank top. So I'm going to put that out there. I think an easy choice, and I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm saying an easy choice is the Austin 316 shirt.
Okay.
Having said that, for whatever reason, I decided to write down Owen 316, I just broke your neck.
Nice.
So keep that one. Keep that one on the long list. This came up over the weekend, too, and it helped because Bill Apter was in Waterloo, Iowa. I always thought the Pro Wrestling Illustrated t-shirts were cool. And you'd always see, like, the Von Erichs wearing them and the Road Warriors for all the photo shoots done for PWI Magazine. It also helps that it says Pro Wrestling right across the front of it, so you pretty much know what it is, as opposed to a t-shirt that says MA on the back. Now, here's where things get weird. Excuse me while I clear my throat because things are getting weird. I think we all, as I've mentioned this before, so I don't know who remembers this, but when I was a kid, I used to play the WWF 900 number trivia game. And one time I won a WWF Racing Team t-shirt.
Ooh.
If you think about it, WWF Racing Team kind of sort of embodies the whole spirit of a person who would be a professional wrestling fan.
Okay.
It's just, it puts the white in white trash, I guess. I don't know. Maybe not. But two other legitimate options here. The NWO shirt is kind of along the lines of the Austin 316 shirt.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a pretty iconic t-shirt, and it sold a million plus.
Mm-hmm.
And then, here's one that I came up with this at the tail end of my thinking. Roddy Piper's Hot Rod t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Because how many things has he turned that logo into? You know, it said Icon, and then it said Frats and whatever else. But, I mean, that's just, that's Roddy Piper, man. He's you know, he's pretty fucking classic. So, anyway, somewhere among those are my Mount Rushmore.
Okay. Well, I came up with four right off the top of my head, so I'll tell you what they are. And the Austin 316 one wasn't on there.
Okay.
And maybe that's a mistake, but I like the four I have, so
okay.
I don't know. The four I have are the Hot Rod shirt.
Yes.
Hulk Rules.
Ah.
The NWO.
Uh-huh.
And the Macho Man sunglasses shirt. Those were the four I came up with, and I don't know what's the weakest one, probably the Macho Man one, maybe?
I don't know.
I don't know, because I really like it, you know? And I think I want to keep it on my Mount Rushmore, so.
Okay. I'm curious to hear Kevin. Kevin's got a beat on wrestling t-shirts. It's a feature of StuntGranny.com. So this is definitely a good question. I want to hear what Kevin has to say on this.
He might not be a homo, but he's got the queer eye, so he knows what's
up. Nice.
You know, I completely, like, when you suggested it, I just completely blanked, because, I mean, and you guys started rattling off the iconic shirts, and I don't know why. I was just stumping my brain for something that I guess wasn't iconic, maybe.
You've been stuck in the rut of looking at, like, AJ Styles' flying forearm t-shirt for years now.
That is a bad habit of mine, is to pretty much destroy shirts. Although, there have been some good ones. And, you know, I've actually, because I flipped on it after Dusty was talking about this horrendous TNA shirts. I really kind of dug. Now, the one thing that the shirts that you guys had talked about that all had in common were something that I had in common with the Jeff Hardy shirts I talked about.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything on the back.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, it's just Austin 316 on the front. It's just like, oh, that's so nice.
There you go.
You know, it doesn't end up looking like a wrestling shirt. Like, I don't know. I just don't like designs on the back of a shirt in general, unless it's, like, just stripes.
Agreed.
Or plaid or something like that.
Yep.
Thanks.
And, you know, I really do kind of, there's another one that I missed. I was going through some of the other TNA shirts. I kind of dig this one that's called Abstraction by Jeff Hardy. Like, I just kind of dig that the guy is just throwing his artwork out there for mass consumption.
I mean, he's the creative sort, so good for him, I guess.
It shows some balls, you know?
Yeah.
It's something different, and it doesn't, again, it doesn't look like a wrestling t-shirt. And I guess that's the other thing that I was thinking. I'm like, well, which ones don't look like obvious wrestling t-shirts?
I know. And I was thinking of, like, Edge's shirt, you know. Like, Edge was always good at making shirts that looked like they could have been, like, a rock band shirt, but not necessarily a pro wrestling shirt.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you know what? Come to think of him, I always kind of dug their 5-second promo or 5-second pose shirt.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of the there's a soccer brand, I believe it's Italian, it's called Kappa, that has two twins sitting down, bending their knees. It kind of looks like the woman on the mud flaps that get used all the time. And Edge ended up using that, but that was kind of a similar look to it. Like, he definitely tapped into that market. So, I mean, I don't know if I have a good five. Like, the ones that you guys mentioned are, yeah, I mean, they're kind of more in the iconic area there. Austin 316, Hulkamania. You know what? One that you guys didn't put on there that, I mean, I guess there would have been one of the Hart Foundation shirts. That pink and black to me is just so synonymous with wrestling that I would have to seek out one of their shirts to put on there. And then, like, an all-time horrendous design also is in the Hart Foundation, or in the Hart family. It was it was Enough is Enough. Clock, because they actually had a clock there for change, and it's just like, oh my god, like, that's one that it was so terrible I haven't forgotten it. Like, it's just like, why did you substitute one word with a picture,
right?
And it was just this really shitty clock on it.
No, it was terrible. They weren't even trying at that point. Like, I think they thought, you know, Steve Austin got Impact font and just a couple of words. I bet we can do that with anybody. Oh, now let's make it a, what do they call that when they replace letters or words with pictures? What is that called? A fucking rubric or a cubist, or there's a word for that.
A Rubik's Cube?
No, not a Rubik's Cube. Replace word with picture. Oh, my God. What is that called? Replace words with pictures. Those books that replace some words with pictures. That's a great title for this web page that I just came across. It's a forum where the thread is titled, Those Books That Replace Some Words with Pictures. Rebus Books, that's what they're called.
What is it?
Oh.
Rebus.
Oh.
Like a Rebus McIntyre.
Jeez.
But anyway. All right, very nice. I think we got some good candidates in here.
Yeah,
honorable mention.
Yes.
The Ultimate Warrior T-shirt, the orange shirt with the purple and yellow.
And yellow. If Hulk Rules was on the first page of that catalog, the Ultimate Warrior orange T-shirt was on the second page.
Yeah, and you know one thing that I failed to mention, like, of the simplicity, is that I made fun of Bobby Roode's T-shirt that just says It Factor on it. That's the other thing. Like, if you want to get away with something that just says Austin 316 on it, or Hulk Rules, or Hulkamania, you need for that to be that groundbreaking and that fresh.
Yeah.
Or else it's just going to look lazy.
Cheap.
Yep,
a
absolutely.
Cheap second-rate imitation.
Exactly.
Just like all of TNA.
Yeah. I was going to say, speaking of cheap, what was I going to say? speaking of cheap imitations, then I was going to make reference to the barbershop window website that make a bunch of supposedly retro-looking T-shirts, and then they latch onto the hottest new thing in wrestling. They'll make a T-shirt for them. They've made a bunch of hashtag heel shirts and other related shirts for one of the hot up-and-comers in WWE who, on Sunday, won the other Money in the Bank ladder match. Let's get into item number two on the top 5 at 5. Dolph Ziggler wins the other Money in the Bank ladder match. Fallout of that, it actually prompts Chris Jericho's babyface turn, or what appears to be his babyface turn. Kevin, let me throw that at you first, because as we were searching for things to talk about, you mentioned this as the news item. I think you even referred to him as your Kent State buddy, or whatever you called him, Dolph Ziggler.
Mr. KSU,
yeah.
At least for the time being.
Yep.
Although I think that still might lay with one heavily fined Steelers linebacker. But it was good to see that they just decided to put all of the people that they wanted to move up into one one Money in the Bank match in and of itself, because normally it's just both sets are up and comers. So I mean, it was kind of nice to have an up and comers kind of a thing, but it was just kind of interesting with that one that so many people in the match were so fresh, really. Like Sandow and Tyson Kidd are both really barely starting out. Especially Tyson Kidd, who's been in some sort of a rut for like 3 or 4 years at this point.
Uh-huh.
And it makes sense. They love to try and develop someone on SmackDown. So moving Ziggler over there to move him up to the next level, so long as they don't keep using it as Raw Replay Central. Always a good place to have a new champion.
Yeah.
So, I just don't see them, I don't know, he doesn't seem like the right choice to have somebody lose to me. I knew that at some point we were supposed to have an argument about him. But
let me just sneak that in there. I apologize to Callie on the message board. Man, I dropped the ball on getting the I should have just gotten you in on the email thread with the Stunt Granny guys here so you could have hashed it out. Callie has opinions on how the Dolph Ziggler push, no push, jobbing to Brodus Clay thing was going and all this good stuff. And we were going to have him on the show, and I fear that I may have shit the bed because now we've got Dolph in a position to possibly win a championship. And you make a good point, too. I mean, somebody, at some point in the scheme of things, has got to lose their match when they cash in the Money in the Bank. And, who of us internet nerds wouldn't love to see somehow or other John Cena be the one to lose, but Dolph Ziggler be able to win?
Mm-hmm.
Just a thought on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone would love that, but and it still kind of goes back to the heel kind of a thing. It's not, it always garners great heat when a heel comes down and takes advantage of the wounded baby face, which, I mean, that almost all automatically gives them a nice little push into, their new status.
Right.
Which is kind of handy.
It's a nice little tool.
And the one thing that, at least from that promo on Monday there against Chris Jericho, they couldn't have highlighted any more how useless Vicky Guerrero is to Dolph Ziggler's act right now if they had tried.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she just stood there like worse than Josh Matthews or Matt Stryker trying to interview two people. who were arguing. Like, she just looked completely out of place in there.
Dusty, what do you at this point, is Vicky Guerrero doing anything for Dolph Ziggler's career? Is it more harm than good, less harm, neutral, and just
kind
overall
of neutral?
Neutral.
Yeah, kind of neutral. I think when he was coming up, she helped him get up, but now that he is up, maybe he doesn't need her anymore. You know?
What if, let's see, how would this work? What if Jack Swagger came after Dolph Ziggler with a mirror, and Dolph pulled Vicky in the way, and Jack Swagger hit Vicky in the head with the mirror, and it shattered all over the place?
Like it.
She was out of commission for a few months. Got the hell out of the way.
Oh, yeah. And then she can come back. Whose corner is she really in?
Yep. And then come WrestleMania, Sarah Del Rey comes walking down the aisle along with Jack Swagger. I don't know.
Like, I need to go for Jack Swagger. Look at that fucking guy.
God,
he's a fucking hero.
You are zero, my hero. You know, I will say this about this whole situation. The fact that we are talking so much more about Dolph Ziggler than we are about Chris Jericho speaks volumes about both Dolph Ziggler and Chris Jericho. Dusty, how do you feel about that?
And Jericho doesn't care.
Yeah, he's got it made.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's in a spot in his career where he doesn't need to care, so why would he?
Yep.
He's not being creatively challenged in any way, and he's not being used as much as he'd probably like to be, and he probably just says, fuck it.
Kevin, does
That's
this work for you?
On it.
Yeah, Kevin, does this Jericho babyface turn work on you?
Well, I mean, it depends upon if they make it work.
It's up to them.
You know, I mean, I don't know, because you usually have some type of stepping ladder, I guess, to pump up Dolph, because he hasn't had, to me, I guess, he hasn't had a signature win, I mean, aside from Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's had a lot of good matches, but there still hasn't been, like, a standout, you know, victory. And Chris Jericho, even more than, Christian there.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the WWE is back to using him as a bit of a gatekeeper.
Yeah. Yep, that makes a lot of sense. Jericho, you know, I'll give him a little credit. He can get heat pretty much anytime he wants to. And I think we talked about this last week where he's kind of gone through the putting over Sheamus at the Royal Rumble and putting over Punk at WrestleMania and putting over the Brazilian flag at that house show and the Law. Now maybe this is his opportunity. Maybe he's like, you know what, here's a guy who could use, like you said, kind of a signature win, something that's going to put him on the map. And here I am, a guy with 20 years of experience who's kind of, you know, I'll get my baby face heat. That's no problem. So hopefully all goes well for both parties involved, because Ziggler needs a big win against a big opponent to move on with his life. And Jericho really needs some sort of spark, like you said. So hopefully all works out for everybody involved. And hopefully Vicky doesn't get hit in the head with a mirror. It's just an idea. So send your cards and letters to Kevin.
Bruce is writing for the other show now, Eric.
So. What's that?
It's Bruce? Not going to happen. Bruce writes for the other show now.
Oh, yeah, good point. Yep, that's right.
Uncle Bruce.
Hey, time to play Match Game.
Oh.
Is everybody excited to play Match Game?
Oh,
I know
I am. I'm pumped for my first round of Match Game.
There you go. All right. Well, I can barely contain myself.
Kevin is a Match Game virgin. So.
Uh-oh. There you go. Well, let's pop this deuce, domino, and cherry then and play a little Match Game. So, once again, WWE standout and internet fan favorite Dolph Ziggler won a Money in the Bank ladder match this past Sunday, entitling him to a future world championship match. Now, upon seeing Ziggler's rocket to fame, former WWE superstar John Morrison pondered, darn, if only I'd kept my blank to myself. Once again, Dolph Ziggler, internet fan favorite, wins the Money in the Bank ladder match to much praise, future title shot, and upon hearing about Ziggler and seeing Ziggler's rocket ride to fame, John Morrison ponders, darn, if only I'd kept my blank to myself. Tell me, Dusty, you've got some match game music going on in the background. Is that somebody's car horn or something? But anyway. Kevin, let's start with you. John Morrison pondered, darn, if only I'd kept my blank to myself.
Penis.
My penis to myself.
Yes. If he had just not fucked that ugly slut, Melina, he might be getting a rocket ship up his ass right now.
There you go. As Max likes to say, don't sleep where you shit. Dusty,
instead of being shipped off on a rocket ship to parts unknown, which is what happened to him. I was trying to think of making it work the other way. If only he had been able to spread his girlfriend around to those in power, you know? I don't know how to make that work on paper, but you know what I mean. Like,
I do know what you mean. That's funny.
Melina. Yeah.
Yep, that's right. Somehow or other, we actually had two other answers to this. If only I'd kept my opinions to myself. Opinion. Or, as you have both alluded to, darn, if only I had kept my skanky half-Mexican girlfriend to myself. So there you go. That's exactly how it goes. Now, speaking of John Morrison, the number three item on the top 5 at 5, rumors abound when it comes to TNA's new stable, Aces and Eights.
Oh,
we all know the Dead Man's Hand.
Oh,
much more appropriate name for a stable in pro wrestling than Aces and Eights, but nonetheless.
Yeah, and it's pretty bad when you have to be told that that's the Dead Man's Hand the following week.
Yeah, yeah, and the fact—I mean, just seriously, when you put those two next to each other, like, what if? I mean, what if a Pritchard brother had written those two things on a marker board? Do you think he would have chosen Aces and Eights to be the name of the stable? No.
No.
You choose Dead Man's Hand. It only makes sense.
Right.
Now, I mean, it sounds dangerous.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they think it sounds like The Undertaker a little too much, maybe.
That's about the only rationale I have. Is that
worried about a lawsuit, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, rumors are surrounding who some of these masked people could potentially be. And Dusty, I want to throw a bunch of names at you here real quick, and let me know what you're thinking about these. In any context, you know, oh, these guys are in TNA, or no way, that's total horseshit, this guy would never do it. Or this guy could walk back into the doors of WWE at any time and make a lot of money for the rest of his career, so he wouldn't dream of slumming it in TNA. So the names that I've read include Chris Masters, Mike Knox, Domino, Cliff Compton, Luke Gallows, and John Morrison. What makes you laugh, Dusty?
I don't know. Maybe Domino? I don't know. Maybe that fucking showed. I don't know.
Somehow he's gotten himself in with this whole circle of like Colt Cabana, and I don't even know who else. They're like
people who have
friends.
Talent, you mean?
Yeah. That's called piggybacking.
Yeah, right. It's called X-Pocking. You know.
Nice.
Yeah. And good for him, you know. Everybody, everybody needs an Aldo Montoya to carry their bags for them, you know?
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I have to watch them on my television.
There you go. That's right.
But John Morrison has a lot of charisma. He's a decent talent, and he would be a good person to invest in. He's the kind of guy TNA should be signing.
Yeah.
Now, they shouldn't be signing the goddamn soul unless they cut people, but that's another story.
Yeah, their roster page would look like a gallon of information poured into a shot glass of a brain.
Mm-hmm.
As Kelly Bundy would say. Yeah, I don't know. This is an interesting fivesome here, Kevin. What do you think of these rumors? Do you see guys that absolutely fit into TNA, absolutely don't fit into TNA?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I always felt like Mike Knox had something.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from a bad habit of eating when he was getting a push.
Mm-hmm. Are you making fun of his big Hacksaw Jim Duggan-sized gut?
Yes. Yes, I was.
Okay. Just double cheeseburgering.
And, nobody else on that list. Well, Morrison is fine. I always thought that the gimmick didn't really end up working. Like, it was kind of interesting at first, but it was one of those gimmicks that ran into a dead end.
Yeah.
So if they give him a different name and a different gimmick, it might help out some. And he was fine enough in the ring. He probably could have used to do a couple less flips like a lot of those guys. But outside of that, I mean, I thought he was okay. I mean, I thought he was upping his aggression level and cutting down the flip when he decided to mouth off like a goddamn idiot.
Keep your opinion to yourself, Johnny Moe. Now, see, when I look at this list, I think, okay, Master, sure, he did the Indian TNA thing, that's fine. You know, Mike Knox probably isn't going to get another look from WWE. Luke Gallows may. I mean, he was always kind of in that WWE system, so it's possible.
Yeah.
Domino is going to end up being one of those dudes that just floats around in the indies, but because he knows Colt Cabana, and sometimes people wear his T-shirt, then you know, but he's Domino. John Morrison, to me, is the guy who would be a damn fool to go to TNA. If he could just, you know, the criticism on him was always his promos, and then for me, the fact that he can't punch and looks like a cat playing with a toy, but whatever. WWE obviously looked past that. If he would just, like, and I think he's done this, he's taken acting classes and improv classes and stuff, if he could focus on his promos, he has got a wide open door into the biggest wrestling company in the world, and he could make a lot of money. And to me, he'd be a fool to go to TNA, especially in this Aces and Eights horse shit. I mean, this is just, I mean, I'm looking at these guys, and I don't mean any offense to any of them, but John Morrison is like head and shoulders above the other four guys as far as potential.
Totally.
And, yeah, so anyway, I think it would be a horrible move on his part.
Hmm. But don't you think Vince McMahon needs to see him in order to, like, realize he needs him?
You know, a person could make the argument that that's what happened with Christian, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Absence in the heart and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course, it didn't really do a whole lot for him either, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably making mid-card money carrying around a huge gold belt.
And that
dollar bill, y'all.
Yeah, there you go. I guess it kind of goes back to our conversation last week about Kenny King and where would you rather collect a paycheck, you know? And Dusty, you said, probably not Ring of Honor because they may not be around.
Probably TNA because Ring of Honor, I don't know, is going to make it a year from now.
Yeah.
At least TNA's got the Panda Energy money, you know?
Yeah. And then just to make that same, I guess, contrast, you know, sure, TNA may possibly be around, but you also may get the phone number to your local food stamps office in one of your envelopes.
Nice.
Oh, TennesseeWorkforce.org. Okay. Sign me up.
I was only kidding about that.
Yeah.
It's totally a coincidence that I'm poor and out of a job now.
There you go. God. Oh, all right. Well, anyway, that quick hit on Aces and Eights. I guess we'll see. Someday they'll unmask themselves and it'll be what it'll be.
Fortunate
team and extreme. Yeah, oh, for God's sake.
It spells sex!
It spells sex. Don't you get my jokes?
What you gotta understand is...
I was at my end rope when it hit me. It hit me like it was yesterday, I swear to God.
Let me tell you something. My wife had me doing the dishes, and I had to change things. I had to make the change.
It was time for a change. And I put a clock in place of time like a Rebus book. Very entertaining books. I don't even try to do a Vince Russo impression anymore. I'm doing like a raspy Jewish woman. Oh, God.
No, it's like any raspy bullshit New York guy has the same voice, you know? It's right along that Andrew Dice Clay line, you know?
Hey, Jack and Jill, motherfucker!
Jack and Jill went up the hill. Oh!
Oh, my God.
I got tired of looking at Who and T.L. Hopper. Oh, you know.
So. Oh, you like the tuna from Subway? Oh!
Oh! You're some kind of fruity pebble homo. Oh!
Oh, my God. We've been on the phone 1 hour and 3 minutes. You're still sitting in your own filth. Oh!
I want Kevin to do the next audio from the shower. Bring the phone into the shower and get yourself fucking clean, dude. Clean up your act.
We're pitching in and getting you a shower Samsung. It's going to be great. Hey, tell you what, let's make these last two top five at five real quick, shall we?
Yes.
This one can be very quick. Daniel Bryan and AJ to be wed at Raw 1000. Could we possibly ask for more, Dusty?
It's going to be a match made in heaven.
And then the match made in hell.
No, I mean, it's a wrestling wedding on TV. It should go off just fine, you know?
Without a hitch.
Yep.
Kevin, what are some of your favorite moments from pro wrestling weddings of the past?
Oh. Because
God knows we've had too fucking many of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was amused. Because was it Stephanie that remembered her and Triple H's wedding?
Yeah.
I did kind of remember that one. And did Queen Elizabeth get married to the Macho Man at some juncture?
That was Summer. SummerSlam 91. And then she almost got... fucking Queen Elizabeth almost got bit by the cobra.
That'll teach them to get married.
Oh, shit. Oh, Lord. Why? Why did they subject us to this shit?
I don't know, dude. It's such a bad idea.
Because they need one more anchor segment since it's a 3-hour show.
Oh, fuck. Seriously.
We don't have enough filler. I got it. Let's have a fucking marriage.
Yeah, because we have a marriage, a WWE title match, and Brock Lesnar and Triple H segment. Those are the three big things there that we can have at 9, 10, and 11 running until, I'm sure, 11:30 because, you know, a 3-hour show is not nearly enough time.
Right, yeah, the last segment will run until fucking 3 in the morning the next day. Overruns are so fucking important to them.
Jesus. And here's another chance for WWE to be tone-deaf in their writing. DX is going to kick off the show, and I'm sure it's going to be the most humorous fucking thing since I cut my dick off with a bandsaw. And then later on in the show, Triple H is going to have to get real serious to hear what Brock Lesnar has to say. So get ready for that fucking roller coaster. Christ. All right. Enough of that shit. Last thing, and I was here for this in person, so I want to get your guys' opinions on this. And actually, here, let's play one more round of match game to lead us into the final top 5 at 5, shall we?
Oh.
Oh, shit. I need to change that pose.
Here we go. Round 2 of match game. At this past weekend's George Tragos Luthez Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame inductions in Waterloo, Iowa, Gerald Briscoe jokingly auctioned off the plaque of no-show inductee Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle was supposed to be inducted into the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame in Waterloo, Iowa. He no-showed. Jerry Briscoe jokingly, depending on who you ask, auctioned off his plaque to the highest bidder. When Angle caught wind of this, he tweeted, "Hey, come on now. I was busy that night planning my blank." Jerry Briscoe, after jokingly auctioning off Kurt Angle's plaque, Angle tweeted, "Hey, come on now. I was busy that night planning my blank." Kevin.
Did you say planning or planting?
Planning.
Oh, planning. I was going to say planting my steroids in Austin Aries' locker, but that's... planning is a whole different thing.
Yes.
Oh, I was planning on who to stalk next.
Nice.
Nice. Awesome. I like that one. Dusty.
My latest pill gargling session.
Yes. All right. Hey, come on now. I was busy that night planning my latest pill gargling session.
Yes.
And our contestant, Timmy, let's see what he had in his card. Kurt Angle tweeted, "Hey, come on now. I was busy that night planning my funeral."
Oh.
Oh.
Whoops.
I was busy. Or, hey, even better. Let's play off of last week's Devon TV Championship match game round. When Angle caught wind of this, he tweeted, "At least they didn't auction off my blank." And we could probably fill that in with anything we just said.
Holy shit.
Anyway, I better stop before I get myself in trouble. Never mind. I'll tell you when we go off air. So Kurt Angle no-showed the Hall of Fame. Jerry Briscoe goes up to the podium to accept for him. The video doesn't play, the audio doesn't play, and Jerry Briscoe says, "What he was trying to say was," and gets a good laugh out of everybody.
No.
And then I was there, and he went off on a tangent about they make a point to induct people who plan to be there. because of the what they consider to be the prestige of the Hall of Fame. They're proud of this thing.
Yeah.
And Jerry Briscoe goes on to say, I got a bid for $200 in my pocket. I'm taking bids, and the promoter, oops, shit. I didn't mean to throw him under the bus like that. A guy who was in the crowd that night raised his hand and said, $250.
Nice.
Jerry Briscoe gave him the plaque for $250. And I will say this, this is not going to show up on any DVD or interview about the Hall of Fame, so I'm not going to get into great detail, but let's just say there were more choice words for Kurt Angle out of some of the legends and Hall of Famers who were there than just, I'm going to auction off your plaque. So, having said that, Dusty, let's talk about a man of character, Kurt Angle. What do you make of this whole situation?
Yeah, it said that auctioning off his award was like spitting on it. Well, that's exactly what you did to the Hall of Fame by not showing up, by saying you'd show up and then not showing up. It just shows your character. You have none. You're a piece of shit. You're a drug addict. You're a stalker. You're a filthy piece of shit. You didn't always be a filthy piece of shit, but now you are, and now you got to lay in that bed. So fuck off. You're a waste of time.
That about, there you go. I like that. Kevin, you probably watched as this whole thing transpired. And actually, since then, even JR has gone online and said there are certain wrestling outlets that are making too big of a deal out of this. It was just a rib. He even said it was a rib. But I guess, Kevin, what'd you make of this whole ordeal?
Yeah, that was, if that's a rib, that is the strangest rib that I have ever heard of. It did not sound funny nor entertaining in any way, shape, or form. And what, didn't he cancel like 2 days ahead of time?
You know, it ended up, I don't know when it was actually announced. I think it was something like 7 or 8 days. I mean, it wasn't long. It certainly was not a long amount of time. But when word got out, the original word was he had obligations with TNA. You know, whatever. You can double check. You can fact and figure and whatever. You can look at travel schedules and who's booked and are advertised or whatever and attempt to do the detective work to figure that out. Whatever. And I didn't do it, and I don't know anybody who did. So then Angle gets on Twitter the morning after this no-show and says, it wasn't TNA. I had obligations with my wedding.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying, unless you're getting married that day, let her go take care of it.
Yeah.
You're being inducted into a Hall of Fame in a museum where your face is plastered all over this place because they have nothing but reverence for amateur wrestling, and that's the whole point of this Hall of Fame is the crossover appeal between amateur wrestling and professional wrestling. This guy is the epitome of that. And to, I will say this too, I heard around through the grapevine of wrestling news sites that somebody, I think it was from Slam Wrestling in Canada, actually got to hear or watch the video, and he sounded touched. Like, Angle sounded like he was, legitimately, happy that he got this thing. But, man, sometimes I got to think, you got to get your, I almost said you got to get your life in order. Maybe he does think that, his impending marriage is more important than this plaque, but there are certain people out there who think this Hall of Fame induction is pretty goddamn important.
It's the most legitimate wrestling Hall of Fame there is.
Yes.
Because that one newsletter that has a Hall of Fame, those fucking so-called experts won't even put Sting in it, even though he was on top for 25 years. So that shows how legitimate that Hall of Fame is.
I think I need to get you on an audio with Dan sometime to discuss Sting as a draw in pro wrestling. But
does Dan disagree with me?
Dan does disagree with you on this one. But for the record,
okay.
I agree, and I agree with your point. So,
I think even if you disagree with me that he was a draw, they used him in a position to draw from 87 to 2000.
Yeah. And that plays a big factor. Not even Diesel was in a position to draw for that many years.
Not even the legendary Diesel, yeah.
Yeah, because he wasn't worth being put in that position for all those years.
Right. so somebody saw something in him for 14 years, you know?
Yep. So, I don't know, to put a bow on this, it was disappointing. Like, I can understand if people were disappointed. I can understand if it's already water under the bridge, too. That's fine. That makes sense. Well, everyone's an adult. Everyone can come to their own conclusion, draw their own, you know, conclusions, or jump to their own conclusions, whatever. As it happened, you know, I can see where people would be offended by him not appearing. It looked pretty serious when it happened, so, you know, whatever. One man's perspective that in reality is pretty much everybody in the room's perspective, and, you know, if it's c'est la vie, then there you go, and so be it. But anyway, that's what happened this weekend at the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame inductions. Hopefully everyone kept up on twitter.com/stuntgranny and saw my blurry photos from my shitty BlackBerry. Maybe next year I'll upgrade and get better pictures. And thanks to everybody for following our coverage of the Hall of Fame inductions. Got a few more Twitter followers and a little bit of bump in our hits and our web traffic, so that's kind of cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. Gosh, I think that's about it. Yeah, I don't know. I feel bad because Kevin has been sitting in his own filth for a little while now.
Yeah.
Ooh. It's stewing. It smells really good right now.
Has it gotten to that point? Because sometimes BO can kind of get to that decent smell. That kind of cool, like, I kind of want to smell my own armpits.
No, I'm not going to do that anytime soon.
Okay.
But I'm more ready just to eat some food here.
There you go. All right, good deal. Well, I'm not going to have a formal sign-off, so I'm just going to... I don't know if Kevin, was that your official sign-off, or do you want to have an official one, because I don't.
Sure, I'm going to go grab a sippy time beer and then enjoy some dinner here, finally.
All right, well, for Kevin DeFrango, for Eric Nelson, for Gene Rayburn, Richard Dawson, Charles Nelson Reilly, and the other idiots on that show, and for Artie Lang, who I pray to God isn't back on heroin, because he just got arrested in France. This is Dusty Ewing, and this has been Stunt Grimy Audio number 1, Game Who Gives a Fuck, and we'll try to do better next time. Yeah.